beyond tomorrow, next month, next decade, next century, when we will still be housewives and farmers and merchants, when some of us will be broke and some of us will be ambitious, and some of us will be lonely as people are today, but when we will employ robots to do our housework and go for a weekend to the moon.
In the 1950s, it was predicted that by 2020, we would only drive in tubes. Our houses and cars would one day fly, and mail would be delivered by rocket. Just about every decade predicts that it will in fact be the one that takes humans to Mars. So let's skip the conjecture. Instead of telling you what the outside world is going to be in the future, we're going to take a look at the skills required to adapt to an ever-changing, ever-developing world of work. Stick around and find out how. If you're listening to this podcast, you're probably familiar with an observation made by Gordon Moore. He's the co-founder of Intel, and he famously once observed in a landmark 1965 article that the number of transistors per square inch on integrated circuits, therefore think processor speed, had doubled every year since the integrated circuit was invented. He predicted that this trend would continue for at least another decade. A decade later, he revised that the rate of doubling was, in fact, every 2 years. But Moore's law, as applied to transistors per square inch, has since gone the way of the rocket-delivered mail service. But the term Moore's law has become a normal part of our vernacular today. It's often a catch-all for the rate of technological innovation present in nearly every aspect of technology. We know that size will shrink, processing capabilities will double, and the cost will drop. But there's a second law often associated with Moore, and also with Arthur Rock. He is a Silicon Valley investor famous for early investments in companies like Intel and Apple and scientific data systems. The second law is the economic flip to the first law. It says that the cost of semiconductor chip fabrication doubles every 4 years. In order to stay competitive in the industry, a company producing chips has to double its investment in manufacturing cost every 4 years. This duality exposes a delicate balance in the innovation equation. On one hand, innovation brings tremendous benefits. On the other hand, there's a toll. Innovation has a cost.
This is Connection, a podcast that brings you stories and expert opinions from the front lines of the workplace, enabling listeners to reimagine the worlds of employee and customer engagement.
In today's enterprise, the IT teams responsible for managing innovation in an organization are responsible for balancing the rate of change and all the benefits that come with the cost of taking on new roles and responsibilities. And this all comes back to the CIO, whose role today is very different from what it was even 5 years ago. CIOs today are responsible for increasing existing revenue, creating better customer experiences, and improving employee productivity. Today's CIO manages the delicate balance between technological innovation and the cost of doing so, both from a product perspective, but also in staffing and implementation. And as we look ahead at 2020 and the nearly endless supply of new technologies, strategies, and requirements facing IT, I had a fascinating conversation on the traits required in order to be able to adapt and best approach the coming change. Our discussion covered four critical points we might call mindsets to enable us to adapt and best approach to the coming change. What you might find fascinating about the conversation, as I had, is that we didn't talk about new technologies or new approaches. We talked about the changes at an individual level and at an organizational level that will prepare businesses to adapt and take advantage of what's coming next.
Well, you know, someone said it probably about 4 or 5 years ago that, you know, today will be the slowest pace of change that you'll experience for the rest of your life. It's been used over and over again, but I keep going back to that as true. And the technologies and the capabilities that I see in my role, I'm in a very unique seat. People come and sell me ideas or sell me early stage ideas about what's possible and what's coming. And I think the amount of automation and the amount of technologies that actually are going to make our lives easier is scary. But at the same time, there's opportunity there. So
I'm in the RingCentral recording studio with Trevor Scholes. He's the CIO of RingCentral. He's held senior leadership roles for a number of organizations and even holds a number of patents in the area of core networking.
reacting to that.
The products he's helped design in the past have won more than a dozen best product awards from leading industry organizations and publications.
The pace of change that people think about now is they keep pointing to technologies. I think what we go back to the previous thought around how are human beings going to be reacting to that pace of change? And then how are you as a person or as a leader preparing yourself for that? And people, I think, read books, they go to seminars, they take classes, but I think you have to every moment of every day start thinking about how you're reacting to something.
Our conversation covered four key traits critical in the coming 12 months and beyond. Even more so, it was about the balance of what we might see as hard skills or the technical skills traditionally at the core of IT organizations and the soft skills required for innovation today. The first key skill Trevor discusses is fearlessness.
A lot of people, when they start doing the predictions for the coming year, they get really hung up on technologies and tangible items. And as I've gone through my career and I've seen a number of different environments now, I'm starting to realize that the trends are really about humans and behaviors. And, you know, fearlessness, I think, is a key trait for any technology leader now. There's a lot of different things out there where people are saying emotional intelligence is important, having a growth mindset, being adaptable to change. I think these are all things that technology leaders need to start either embodying in themselves or spending time learning how to become those things or do better at that. But also, I think the trend really should be around how you're training your teams, how you're engaging with your business partners in these behaviors, because you know, these things matter because of the pace of change. And there are just a number of things that are just disrupting our lives dramatically. And you can point to 100 different examples. And the core is how are human beings reacting to that? And how are you actually able to push forward in this uncertain set of change?
I asked Trevor to go into more detail on this. The word change is so common as to lose its meaning. When we talk about change happening, what do we mean and how does it impact his activities or those of his team and for the larger organization? How do you engage with something that you may not understand but know will happen to you?
Status quo is no longer acceptable. And so people have to become students as to what this looks like. And we talked about fearless before, but you also have to be able to recognize when a change is coming and to be able to prepare people for it. And so there's a lot of different things around change that you can talk about here. But the thing that I get most excited about is building teams that actually are able to capture these disruptions early enough that you can make it a competitive advantage. And you have to be in a position to be able to explain this to your business partners. And then they'll come to you with ideas too. And they'll say, hey, I have something that I saw or I'm worried about or I have this business problem. Can you help me? And that's when you have to also recognize that your current plans may need to get scrapped. And you have to recognize in yourself that maybe you're going to work with these people and determine a new path that you weren't planning on.
I wanted to learn more about his statement on becoming students and learning new skills and technologies. Given the rate of innovation, how do you adapt to an ever-changing digital experience?
Ultimately, change isn't easy. And I think everyone understands that change is a constant right now. And human beings have a tendency to resist change. Just that's how our brains are wired. Now, imagine technology leaders are being asked to work against that circuitry. You know, status quo is what people are looking for because they have so many things they're dealing with on a daily basis. Now, you're being chartered to change a business, an organization, a way of doing X, Y, or Z. You have to be able to come in with a very clear and crisp way of explaining it. And it has to align to everyone's goals, right? If you're going against the goals of the rest of the business, you find yourself in a really bad spot. And so you hear a lot of people talk about technology leaders need to be business partners. They need to align with the business. They need to, you know, they need to be able to counsel and move forward. Those things are all true. But the way you approach it is, you know, organizations can only accept so much change at a time. That's a truism. I've been in a lot of organizations where they say, we want to start 15 things. And that's too much. Change is inevitable. Change is constant. We're all dealing with this new rapid disruptions that are coming at us. You have to pick your spots, but you have to pick the most impactful spots. And that's where understanding your business partners, knowing where you're going to find resistance and not, that's where you have to start targeting where you go.
Clarity, alignment, partnership. These he defines as critical aspects of a CIO's role. But that brings up another question. The question is one of expertise. To adapt to new technologies, to explain them fully, to partner deeply, you need to have a depth to draw from. This is where the challenge comes. IT teams must look wide at a number of topics, but then also deep into an expertise in order to make an impact and improve the way businesses operate. How do you balance both?
So if you step back for a second and say, what did a successful CIO need to know in the past? You were kind of cornered into technologist, order taker, you know, just keep things moving. A bunch of smart people around you will come up with these ideas and just go execute it. And the CIO or technology leaders in general are now being asked to craft and execute on business strategies. And so your role's changed. So being strategic, you have to actually not only have an amount of knowledge around different parts of the business, but you need to surround yourself with people that have that knowledge as well. So the expectations of CIOs are to be polymaths in business, and that's unrealistic, but that's what you're being asked to do. And so you got to start with a base, but at some point you have to ask yourself, what does a technology leader really need to know how to do? And ultimately, it's to be able to be a change agent, to be able to understand the business well enough to know what's good and what's a bad idea, and also to be able to articulate how this moves the company forward. So for me, my knowledge and what I'm working on right now is leadership. It's learning about business. It's learning about what business looks like in the future. You know, a lot of people talk about the future of work. Absolutely. I have to understand what you know the day-to-day life of a person's going to be 10 years from now, right? I have to learn what that is now. The technologies come and go, and I have to know enough to know if it's a good idea or a bad idea. You know, it's my BS meter. You have to have that. But you should definitely not only build your own knowledge, but you need to surround yourself with people who have knowledge, because you can't do this yourself.
There was a word that came to mind in this conversation. The word is neuroplasticity. This is the ability of the brain to change continuously through an individual's life, reorganizing itself and creating new neural connections along the way. The brain is flexible, it's moldable, it's adaptable. What this amounts to is a potential in the brain to rewire in new and interesting ways based on the environment as well as the experience of the individual, but also the intention of the individual. We can create change in our brains at a physical and psychological level. We can intentionally grow and adapt to new situations. There is another way of saying this. In business, we call it a growth mindset.
I grew up as a software developer. I grew up, you know, being really interested in how business worked. And for me personally, what I had to do is I had to build business acumen. And so I took on tasks and roles and took on initiatives that taught me all the different parts of the business. What I've learned over my career is you have to jump into these roles, be fearless, be a catalyst, and also be adaptable with the growth mindset. And so for me personally, the knowledge that I'm building in time is how business is changing. I have people who can help me understand what blockchain is. I have people who can help me understand machine learning. I spend a lot of time, you know, teaching that myself to broaden my knowledge base. I used to hire for skill types that were more technical or maybe more operational. And in the last 3 to 4 years, I've changed my hiring or people I look for. The skills I'm looking for now are the ones that I referred to earlier. I'm looking for people who are creative. I'm looking for people who are adaptable. I'm looking for people who have a broad background. One of my most successful hires was an anthropologist. I hired this person about 15 years ago, and they were in anthropology. They got into IT over time. And ultimately, this person had such a tremendous understanding of the human nature that they helped me learn more about what it means to drive change in an organism, which would be a business. And so I'm looking for those broad skill sets now, because ultimately technology matters. You know, you have to have an understanding of that. You've got to learn the right skills there. But the people who really stand out and are, I think, the most successful are those people who have that sort of child's eye to everything. Incredible curiosity, incredible ability to adapt, incredible ability to be able to understand where all the no's are and to be able to find that yes. And these are people that you can't automate those skills, right? And so those are the skills of the future. Those are the skills that ultimately technology leaders, which ultimately are business leaders, should be looking for and also training their teams on. It's
fun. A child's eye. An incredible curiosity, an incredible ability to adapt and find the answer in a world of no's. These are noble skills that require investment in order to stay sharp. I asked Trevor what role education played in this paradigm.
So to be a true technologist or business leader, you have to be a continual learner. You've got to be curious. You've got to be looking at emerging trends and technologies with a child's eye. How is this going to work? And what does this mean? And how do we take advantage of this? And so when we think about education in IT, I'm personally doing this on my team, and I've done it in previous teams, is you have to carve out time for people to learn. If every moment of every day is about executing on a current project or service, eventually your skills atrophy. You become less and less valuable to yourself and to the company. Someone said it probably a few years ago that the average skill has a half-life of about 3 years. That's a technology skill. And you think about that. And you start thinking about all the different software languages that come and go. So what skills matter going forward is your ability to adapt, your ability to learn, your ability to be curious. And that's unfortunately very difficult to train. So maybe what you should do is you find people have those skills and then you give them time to learn new skills. They want to do this from home, great. Give them a subscription to, Coursera and let them learn. Because ultimately, if we give them a learning environment, a nurturing environment to grow, they'll stay, they'll thrive. They'll help us see things that we didn't even see ourselves. And it's an investment that every company needs to make right now, regardless of if you're in IT or marketing or sales or whatever. Everything's changing so rapidly, you can't afford to let these really valuable skills of yours become obsolete.
The last topic for us covers the inward and outward perception of the CIO as a leader. I asked Trevor about the balance between the strategic and the day-to-day operations, how, as it would be easy to become overwhelmed with the ever-growing volume of requests coming at him and his team every day.
We've talked about four different important mindsets to a CIO. First and foremost is the catalyst, that's fearless. The second is to be a strategist, which has that polymath feeling to it. The third is a technologist, and we've talked about the growth mindset. Those are all fun things to strive for. But ultimately, at the end of the day, technology leaders are being asked to also be operators, and you can't ignore that. And when you're truly operating a complex business, it's hard, and things go wrong. And things aren't, unfortunately, as solid as you want them to be. And you're constantly trying to just keep things going. I've seen so many operations that from the outside in, they look like they're completely in control. And then if you get in the inside, it looks like it's chaos. And, when you look at organizations and being a leader of these organizations, it's difficult. Every day there's a challenge. I mean, even before I came in this morning, something happened that required my attention that was unplanned. This job requires a level of stoicism. And I'm a studier of that because I believe to be a stoic doesn't mean that you can just take a beating and not care. You can misinterpret this statement. Great leaders need to be able to lead through a firefight and to be able to keep everything calm and to be able to make rational decisions and to be able to deal with these day-to-days. Because the sooner you get through an issue, the faster you can get to those three previous things that are really important. Every day, every moment, every minute of any enterprise, your responsibility is to make sure people are connecting with each other, they're getting the data they need, they're, being able to get through their workflows, that their websites are up and running. You pick a digital asset, it has to be running. And software is complicated. Infrastructure is complicated. Things go wrong. And so I try to teach in my leaders this notion of being a stoic. If you're out there panicking and creating drama, you are taking away from the cycles it takes to get the team back to where we need to be, and then work on those catalyst moments, to work on strategy, to have cycles in your time to educate yourself with that growth mindset.
We ended the conversation on the future, about what he was looking forward to in the coming year. Here's what he said.
I think there's a lot of press around different technologies, but for those of those of the people out there who know me, they know that I've been a student of artificial intelligence for a number of years. I've been really fortunate to have been in industries where this is a game-changing potential technology for different reasons. And so I've recognized this trend as coming. And it was probably about 5 years ago, I really got serious about what does this mean? What are the different avenues of AI? Natural language processing, machine learning gets a lot of press, visual computing. You know, there's a lot of different branches of AI. And one of the things that I truly think the press has picked up on, and it's true, is that there is a sort of fourth generation of the Industrial Revolution underway right now. So there's a lot of discussion about, you know, are we going to lose jobs in certain sectors? Yeah. Are we going to gain jobs in other sectors? Yes. I think that we have just a very early view as to how disruptive AI is going to be across all the different segments. I was very fortunate that I was at the right place at the right time with the right people to learn about AI and start learning about data science and what this all means and how is it going to affect us. And I think the rest of the world is sort of waking up to the possibility here. And if you look at practical AI, people who are able to take advantage of it to start and seeing subsequent generations of advancements here, I think this is an incredibly rich, target-rich area for any business out there. And some of the early leaders, technology leaders, are already moving. And so imagine your competition has determined that their competitive advantage over you, they can automate with intelligence. And they can scale faster, they can get data faster, they can make decisions faster, they can do everything faster than you. Ultimately, in business, they're going to win. That's just how it works.
We discussed the role of a CIO as a great learner in encouraging education in the team. We have looked at the importance of a fearless attitude. We discussed what's needed for a growth mindset and the stoic attitude necessary to get the job done. In my final question, I asked Trevor to pull it all together to show me how the pieces come together.
This is the trick. This is why this job is so hard. Being able to stitch the business problem that you defined to what is the best capabilities out there to outcomes. I spend all day thinking about these things for different business reasons. And so the approach has to be around, first and foremost, what problems do we need to solve to have a competitive advantage in our market? What do you really need? And then let us think about how we can get that into your hands. And I've had a number of times in my career where I've had people tell me, we would love to do this. We think this would make us incredibly, we would kill our competition if we had our ability to get this, but it's impossible. And I'm the first person to be like, impossible? All right, I'm in. Let's figure this out. And what you find is that there's been new technologies brought to market or new capabilities that are out there that no one knew about. And that's my job, is to be able to kind of connect those two worlds. And, to the previous conversation around AI, those are new tools in the toolbox that people may not know are possible. Where suddenly where you couldn't get access to information, information's power, information is a competitive advantage. Turning that data into information that's usable and predictable and believable, you can change a company. And so when people talk about digital transformation, they're talking about digital disruptions. They're talking about how, you have to become a digital company. Everyone's going to be a digital company. That's what they're talking about, is that what was perceived as impossible in the past, we now have capabilities that make that real. And real technology leaders need to have that time to have that strategic thinking, because ultimately, they're in the best seat to connect the two worlds together.
I'm Robert Murphy. You've been listening to Connection.
Connection is an original podcast from RingCentral and is available through iTunes or the podcast channel of your choice.